Well, hi there, Jonathan Doyle with you for the weekly podcast. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Been enjoying these lately, just seriously, I know I say it sort of each week lately, but I got to tell you the truth about doing a podcast, right? You start a podcast and you do like week one and, you know, you put the podcast out there and you get this awesome feedback, usually from your mother. You know, it's usually your mother going, hey, great podcast. And that's pretty much how it goes for a long time. And, you know, perseverance is such a crucial human quality, and I've probably done a podcast on it, or I should, but I've kind of stuck at it for ages, and it's just been really cool to see the subscriber base grow now into the thousands, and just to get more and more feedback from people, and it's really humbling. You know, like my wife Karen meets people, and she's like, oh, they said they listen to you every week, and I'm like, really? Like, isn't there like MasterChef or something else on for people to do? But it's been really awesome. So look, if you're listening to this and you want to send me an email, or you have a topic that you'd like me to address, then please do it. You can hit me up on Facebook. Fastest way to find me on Facebook is just to type in www.fb for Facebook, FB Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, fbjonathan.com, and that'll take you straight to the Facebook page. You can contact me there. You can email me at jonathan@jonathandoyle.co. So that's jonathan@jonathandoyle.co. And you can also find me on Twitter at jonathandoyleco, one word. And Instagram, which I love. So if you want to come across to Instagram, you can find me, I think, at jonathan_doyle.co. So there, my friend, is a bunch of ways to get in touch if you've got a topic or an issue. Look, other exciting news. I've done a big 12-part video series on all the topics in my book. And each of the videos is about 10 minutes long. And what I'm probably going to do is start some coaching groups, probably 10 people in a group, maybe a few less, and I'll start to take people through the principles in those videos and through the book, and we'll do that over Skype in a group. So keep an eye out for that. If you're interested in that and you'd like to sort of work with me one-on-one, I've got a lot of post-grad stuff that I've done in previous lives, but as I've probably mentioned, at the moment I'm doing some formal qualifications in coaching, in life coaching, in executive coaching. So if you get to the point where you'd like to work with me one-on-one, then we can organize that too. So enough shameless spruiking of stuff, even though a lot of it's free, so especially the videos, you're going to love those. But I did get a question this week from a listener, from James, and it was a really good question. It was about, how do you act confidently in social situations where you are like quite anxious, and you become quite withdrawn when people start talking and you kind of retreat into yourself? Well, look, I've got a few thoughts on that. And, you know, please feel free to post a comment underneath the podcast here, because you might have a different take on it. But here's a few thoughts that I had initially. Was the first thing is that often we feel that we have to be like X, that we see a really bubbly, kind of extroverted, outgoing person, and we want to be just like them. It's really understandable. But the first thing I want to suggest is just around self-acceptance, is that, you know, a lot of us are shy. And I do this weekly podcast and I go nuts and yell and carry on. I get really animated. And if I'm doing a live event, I'm really animated. But in my personal life, I'm a real introvert. My dream day is in a silent, sun-filled room with a book. I am really quite introverted. And depending on a bunch of factors, I can be quite, you know, I'm relatively quiet at times. You know, until I get really comfortable with people and I really know people well, I can be quite reserved. And I've had to travel this journey of self-acceptance. So the first thing to do is, if you find yourself getting a bit anxious in social situations, look, just go easy on yourself, because we don't all have to be Mr. and Mrs. Gregarious all the time. So that's the first point, just self-acceptance. Just, you know, don't make yourself be something that you don't have to be. Like, I'm one of four boys. You know, one of my older brothers, a fantastic guy, who's just really brilliant with people. I watched him once. He came to play golf at my golf course. And, you know, we were playing in a group of four, and I met the other two guys, and it was like, g'day, how you going? It was fine. And I watched him, and I was like, it was fascinating. Just his ability to connect with people was just a different skill set. It was just really cool to watch. And, I, you know, he works in media and in high-end sales, so he's doing this every day. But he's got a different personality. So the first thing, self-acceptance. The other thing I'd say is that the only reason to really worry about this would be if it's like a major, if it's really having a major consequence, so that, you know, social anxiety or shyness is becoming paralyzing, because there's definitely research on a kind of continuum. Like, on a, we're all, you know, we all have shyness at some level on a spectrum of 1 to 100. We're all somewhere. But it's when there's a consequence where it's really holding you back from life and it's really making life difficult for you. At that point, you may genuinely, I'm not being silly, you may genuinely be worthwhile talking to a psychologist, you know, just getting some cognitive help in sort of getting better at this area of life. And also, sometimes you just got to start. Like, this is another strategy, is just to begin, just to slowly put yourself in more social situations where you just get used to it. I'll give you a great example that Karen, my wife, is a phenomenal public speaker. She's such a brilliant speaker. Part of the reason is she's the research queen, right? She just does so much work on any given, you know, when she's speaking at a conference event, she'll research for ages. She'll do so much work. She'll rehearse it and rehearse it. She'll go for walks. And when she gets up there on stage, she's bringing her absolute A game. But I can tell you, before we had kids, we were newly married. You know, Karen and I did this Toastmasters course. This is like a speech training course. And I was the speaker. I was the kind of confident guy. And this was so hard for her. Like, it was, she was so nervous. The idea of standing up in front of strangers, doing random topics with no preparation. And she was so nervous. But it was amazing to watch her do the program and get better at it and slowly get more confident. And now you'll see her on stage, you know, hundreds or thousands of people at a time just nailing it, because she made the decision to put herself in the path of growth. So sometimes you just got to begin. You know, if you're nervous in social situations, like, you know what, you're nervous and you just got to keep going. It happens to me. I can think of a time recently I had a big dinner event to attend, and I was like, oh man, there's some really, you know, isn't it crazy? Just hang on. Isn't it crazy how we kind of, you know, just kind of tell ourselves that other people are just so amazing, you know, and they're so serious and different and we mustn't make a fool of ourselves. You know, I remember growing up, my mother used to joke that, you know, the queen still goes to the bathroom, people, you know, she's a human being. And often we build up these social situations and we're like, oh my gosh, you know, I mustn't say anything wrong. And, you know, we're all human, we're all people. So just get a bit of courage and just start, begin to get out there and get some help if it's on the more extreme end. Accept yourself, accept how your personality is made. Yes, we can change, but we've all got kind of default personalities. Now, let's get into this week's actual content for the weekly podcast. It's a really good one. This is powerful stuff, and I hope it's going to be really useful to you. I want to talk with you this week about the power and impact of comparison. What I'm going to suggest is that most of the time, most of us, that's big statements, I didn't say many of us, I said most of us, and most of the time are using comparisons to basically kick the hell out of ourselves. We compare ourselves so frequently to other people. That person's taller, they're better looking, they don't weigh as much as I do, they have more money, they drive a better car, they live in this place, they're just more intelligent, they got a better promotion. We just seem to look around us, and modern TV and media and marketing has a huge role in this too. We are constantly presented with images of beautiful, successful, perfect people who are living the dream all the time, and just life looks awesome. And I was at this conference recently, there was this awesome speaker, and he's talking about Instagram, and I can't remember the exact phrase, but it was something like, you know, show your best, hide the rest. It's like on Instagram, I mean, no one's posting photographs of themselves on Instagram yelling at their kids or, you know, getting out of bed with a hangover or, you know, with their, you know, clothes off and they don't look great. I mean, you know, some people actually do that on Instagram, but that's not my point. But Instagram, right? Show your best, fake the rest. Here's my perfect life. Look at me. Look at these interesting things I'm doing. Look at this, you know, look at this coffee I'm drinking, because of course we all want to see people's cups of coffee. But you get the point, right? Show your best, fake the rest. We're constantly presented with everybody else's beautiful, perfect life. And over time, many of us are like, oh, you know, if only I was like them. So I want to talk about that for a minute. I want to talk about what we can do about it, because I was speaking on the West Coast just last week. It was last Monday. And they started the day reading out my biography. And it's a long biography, and I wrote it, and I did creative writing at university. So it's all true. Everything in there is true. But you know what? I have done a lot, I guess, I suppose. You know, I've done a lot of study and written some books and done different things. And it's a pretty cool biography. And they read it out. And the lady said, you know, who was introducing me, she said, oh, you know, she came to see me in the first break, and then she said, I felt so inadequate reading your biography. And I was honestly stunned. I said, huh? I said, why? And she said, well, I looked at everything you've done and you're only this age and you've done all this. And I was looking at this woman who's like, you know, she was, you know, a really significant woman working at executive level who was doing great stuff. And yet she reads my bio. She doesn't know me. Like, we've only just met. And she's sort of comparing herself to me. And then later in the day, we had some breakout sessions and this really fascinating woman came to talk to me. And she said, oh, she said, how much do you sleep? And I'm like, that's kind of weird. Like, why? And we were asking why she wanted to know that. And she said, oh, I listen to your biography and you do so much. And I just can't do that. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. There's another person going that they heard my biography and thought they should be. So they're comparing themselves. Turns out this lady has like, you know, she is fostering this, this girl with really high needs, you know, and this was an older lady. She's like in her 60s and she was, you know, did this amazing job taking on a young child with major issues and learning difficulties and all sorts of problems. So here's a woman doing amazing stuff, you know, this just passionate, alive, committed woman who's comparing herself to me. And I'm like, wow. So first thing was I was really struck by it. I wasn't like there going, oh yes, you know, wow, look at my, you know, my biography, you really all should bow in worship. It's like, seriously? Like, I was fascinated to meet these people and I just got struck by how they were using comparison. And I think we're all using comparison to rarely service. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. We just look around us and think, you know, if I was had that, I'd be happy. I want to give you a cool quote. This is from a philosopher in the 14th century and it's a pretty strong quote. And I want to just unpack it a bit. But he said, this is a guy called John Duns Scotus, writing in the 14th century, and I memorized this years ago, and I've shared it so many times, but he said, every human comparison is essentially diabolical. Every human comparison is essentially diabolical, and I'm sure I've shared that before on a podcast. So when he says diabolical, I mean, I can't really make this any less blunt than he meant. He means satanic. He goes, any way that we compare ourselves, especially negatively to another person, is just plain evil. So why would he say that? Well, basically he's going, you know, God makes you, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, God creates you as this unique individual with all this story and capacity and all this stuff that you've experienced in life. And you're so unique and just meant to be the way you are. So when we go around, we're basically saying to God or the universe, or wherever you're at with that, you're basically saying to them, you know, you could have done better. I should be like this. I don't want to be this way. I want to be this way. So this path of self-acceptance, this path of, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying that you just accept everything the way it is in your life and don't want to change anything. That would be ludicrous. The whole weekly podcast, everything what I do, well, look, it's not about you keeping up with the Joneses. It's not about you having what the other person has. It's about you finding what you really are passionate about, how you can serve people. And here's the key line. I've been using this more and more lately. What I hope for you is that you will become the best version of yourself that you possibly can. Hear that. Your task is to be the best version of yourself that you possibly can. Your job isn't to be me. I meet people. I was speaking, I flew down to Melbourne on Saturday night and spoke at a conference Sunday morning. And, you know, two people come up to me, oh, how did you get into this? I really like to get into this. How do you do it? That's a good question. I'm like, well, you know, do this, do this, do this. But I'm worried that some people are like, oh, I just want to do exactly that. And I go, your job isn't to do exactly what I do. Your job is to do what's on your heart to do. So I really want to push you on this comparison. So let me ask you some questions. Where are you comparing yourself to? Or who are you comparing yourself to? And usually, if you're using comparison the wrong way, you're going to feel miserable. I mean, how could you not? If you're living in one house and you're looking at everybody else's house and going, oh, if only I live there. Well, first thing you're doing, right, you're setting up a rule, right? You're setting up a really big, powerful rule in your life, which goes, I can only have happiness when I have that. And friends, this has taken me years to learn this. I can save you a bunch of time if you haven't figured it out already. You don't get to happiness. You don't get to it. You don't go, oh, yes, I finally got that BMW M3. Now I have permission to be happy. Friends, you know why I'm happy? Because, you know, I got up this morning, had some time for like prayer and just reading and silence. And I jumped on my bike. I rode with my brother, you know, in a big bunch ride. And it was awesome. And he and I riding together. We had a coffee together. And then I got time with my kids. And then I got to do some work. I got to coach somebody. and I got to read. And you know what? I wasn't going to tell you this, but I lay in the sun for a while. It was really cool. It's just like we got these beautiful windows at the back of our house, and they catch the winter sun. And I just kind of lay there and tried to get guilty, but I couldn't feel guilty because I felt really good. And I'm like, I was happy then. Like, you know, do you think if I had a Bentley, I'd be happier? Well, I don't know, maybe, but I don't know. I just think we've got to stop waiting for a bunch of rules to get fulfilled to be happy and start to look around us at what is happening and what you are doing well and start to use that, okay? And to become the best version of yourself. Now, the other thing I want to share is that some of you might listen to this and go, well, so when we see somebody who's at a level that we want to be at, then surely that comparison is going to serve us because it'll motivate us to want to be like them. Okay, that's different. Let me explain why that's different, because the whole field of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, or peak performance studies, all that sort of stuff, we focus on modeling, right? Modeling is we look at people who have achieved certain results in life, and we ask ourselves, how did they get those results? And then we look at what they did, and usually it's what they did, how they used their bodies, how they thought, how they processed things, and you can model those behaviors if you want to try and get their results. But that's different to looking at someone going, they're so magnificent and I'm a miserable worm. They're totally different things. I mean, one athlete can look at another and model their training routine or model aspects of their behavior. That's different to sort of going, oh, I'm never like them. I'll never be that good. So modeling is cool. Comparison in a negative sense is not. So you getting all that? We've got to stop using comparison to kick the hell out of ourselves. You know, I am a 5'8" white man with, pretty much receding hair. What am I going to do with that, right? I mean, you know, well, Dr. Phil's made it work and other people, but this is me. I'm not Tony Robbins, right? Tony Robbins is 6'7" with thick, black, wavy hair. So if I sat around all the time going, well, I'm not as good a speaker as Tony Robbins, and therefore I should never speak. I should never say anything. I should just go and disappear and not cause any trouble. You know, seriously, like, you know what? I still got to bring my A game, right? I'm still want to help people and talk about stuff and make a difference. So my job's to be the best version of me. My job isn't to be Tony Robbins, Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, any of these guys. They're awesome. I love what they do. But my job's to be the best version of myself and to bring my spin on things to you. And your job this week is to just keep becoming the best version of yourself possible. And not to go crazy comparing yourself to someone else. End of sermon. That's it for the week. I gave you that big spiel at the start. Get in touch with me. Gave you the stuff. Flip back to the start and listen to that if you need to get in touch with me. Post a comment underneath here. But more importantly, grab the link at the top. Send it to a few friends and say, hey, listen to this. It's really good. If you haven't got a copy of my book, Bridging the Gap, jump on the website at jonathandoyle.co and grab yourself a copy of the book and keep an eye out for the videos. Hope that's been helpful. I've enjoyed doing it. You can hear it in my voice, pretty pumped now. So really enjoyed it. Hope it's useful. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This, my friend, has been the weekly podcast. I'm going to speak to you again next week.